We will continue our services here today for a few moments. This time reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, the first book of Moses, chapter 45, and I will read verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith Joseph, thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Amen. Last night, before we were settling down for the night at our host's home, she reminded me that there would be a 1 o'clock service also. So I began scrambling again for some place that we might examine for a few moments. This story of Joseph is precious to me. A long time ago, almost 43 years ago, there was a wedding at the Minneapolis church. When the Heavenly Father blessed me with my dear wife, we had asked Elmer Alioki to serve at our wedding. The wedding was shortly months after the storms of heresy had ripped open many of the families, our families. And Elmer chose for his text on our wedding day the text of Joseph. I believe it would be found in the 39th chapter, where it mentions that Joseph was a prosperous man. It had so much meaning to us as a young married couple that evening when Brother Elmer encouraged us to continue this precious life of faith where God had preserved us to that moment. And I think that some of you, of course, I don't remember. I probably only saw one person that night, myself, but I think some of you may have shared in our joy that evening at Minneapolis. The story of Joseph is a story of faith and love and forgiveness. It is a beautiful story of a child of God who has gone through times of difficulty and trial. We remember Joseph was loved by his father, and he was given a coat of many colors when he was a young boy. And of course, we as parents love all of our children equally. But his father had a special love for Joseph. Joseph was a believing young man. The other brothers were not believing. I hope that my understanding is correct of this. The brothers had been sent out into the field, and their father sent Joseph to see them, see how they were faring. And before he did this, Joseph had seen dreams. We remember, and you Sunday school children also remember the story of Joseph. You've studied it in your lessons, how there were the sheaves, and the 11 sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. And the sun and the moon then also bowed down to him. So there were two dreams that he had seen. And he told them to his family. And we remember how his family was puzzled and probably and most certainly in the hearts of his brethren who were not believing, they became quite upset and angry with his dreams. Joseph was not able to understand his dream. But he openly told his family what he had seen. And we remember how God's Word teaches us that his father also wondered, but he remembered that, tried to understand what it meant. So when his father sent him with his coat of many colors to see his brothers, they saw him coming. And their anger grew within them, and they began to say, "Let us kill him." But then Reuben, I believe it was, One of the older brothers said, No, we cannot do that. But let us throw him into this pit and find out what we will do with him. So he was not killed. He was thrown into a pit, and then one of the other brothers, was a Judah, I'm forgetting now, but he said, when they saw some Ishmaelites coming, he said, let us sell him to them. So they sold him to those Ishmaelites who were traveling to Egypt. And then they took his coat of many colors to deceive their father and dipped it into the blood of a lamb that they had killed, so that their father would believe that he had been killed, he had been torn to pieces. And of course, we can imagine as a father how Jacob sorrowed for his son. But God was with Joseph. We remember how when he arrived in Egypt, he was given grace from God to do his work well there in that foreign land where he was the only believer. You, dear brothers and sisters who are gathered here, have all been given your careers, your path which you have been guided by the Heavenly Father to do that which God has planned for you in your life. And I don't know about you, dear brothers and sisters, but isn't it so that when we look back on our lives, we see God's perfect plan? God is the one who helps and guides. He's the one who guides your lives, dear brothers and sisters. And even during times of difficulty, when we look back at our own life, we wonder sometimes how we have been able to make it through. But yet, we see a perfect plan. God helps us and God guides us. Joseph was there in the house of the Potiphar, and he even had the experience where Potiphar's wife began to be attracted to him. He was a nice-looking young man, and he attempted to draw him into adultery with her, and he refused. Joseph said, "How can I do this great sin against my God?" But one day when he was there, she grabbed him to pull him in, and he fled. And his garment got left with her. And then she lied to her husband and the helpers and said, "Look, this Hebrew has tried to come in onto me. Here is his cloak." Well, of course, Potiphar, not understanding and knowing the truth, he put him into prison. And there God also blessed Joseph. We remember when we read these chapters how beautifully it tells us how God blessed Joseph there in prison. He was put in charge of all the prisoners there, and God was with Joseph. And then it came that the butler and the bishop, who also were put into prison with him, had seen dreams. And they were troubled by their dreams. And Joseph heard them speaking, talking about their dreams. And he went to them and he said that he would be able to interpret their dreams. He knew through faith that God had given him the ability to help. And it turned out that the butler then was returned to his duty of the Pharaoh. And the baker, I believe it was, actually within 3 days he was hung and did not return to his duties. And so it happened. And when the butler left there, Joseph had told him that, remember me here, if you could remember me. Well, when the butler was returned to his duties, he didn't remember immediately Joseph. And then came the time when the Pharaoh saw his dreams. We remember how there were a number of kine, fat cattle, and then after them, 7 years of lean cattle, and the lean ones devoured the fat ones. And also then there was a stalk of corn with 7 fat ears, and it was then devoured by the stalk of thin ears, which were blasted by the east wind. So the Pharaoh was troubled. The Pharaoh pulled all of his wise, those who were part of his government, and he told him, interpret, what do these dreams mean? He was troubled. And they could not. They couldn't understand. And then, who do you suppose remembered Joseph? The butler told the Pharaoh that, I remember my faults this day. There is one, a Hebrew, in the prison who is able to interpret your dreams. So the Pharaoh called Joseph before him, and we remember how God gave Joseph the ability to interpret that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And he told the Pharaoh, he said, you need to put someone in charge here so that you can gather the years of plenty, so that you will have plenty then for the years of famine which are to follow. That God has revealed this unto you, Pharaoh, that put someone in charge who can do this for you. And we remember how God was with Joseph. And we remember how the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, and he told his helpers, those around him, he said, who can be that one that is so wise as Joseph? And he put Joseph in charge then of that gathering all of the goods in those years of plenty, so that they would have enough for the years of famine. And then we remember how also then the countries around there where Jacob was with his brethren, the famine, when the years of famine came, they were hit hard, and how Jacob sent his boys then to get some provisions to help them in their need. And we remember how Joseph recognized his brothers. And we won't go through all those verses but we see again how Joseph tried his brothers. He knew who they were. They didn't know that they were speaking to Joseph. Our text brings us to that point where immediately before Joseph had told his brethren that you go home. He had asked about their family, and the brothers had told Joseph that we have a father, and the one son is not anymore, and the rest of us are here. And if I remember right, Benjamin had been left at home or whatever, so Joseph said that next time, you will bring your son Benjamin, or his son Benjamin, the youngest, with you. And they begin to plead then with Joseph, who they did not know. They begin to plead that this could not happen, that if Benjamin is not with us, that our father will surely die from grief. So this brought us to this point where then Joseph couldn't refrain himself. He had, as it says, every man to go out from him. There stood no man with him, and Joseph was with his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of the Pharaoh also heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. We can imagine those brothers there when Joseph tells them that I am Joseph. It had been hidden from them until that moment. And we can imagine how they were troubled at his being there with them when he said, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? So now he asks about his father, Jacob, and they had assured him that yes, he is there in their land. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. But we notice the love of Joseph. Again, if we think of this situation, how Joseph certainly remembered in his heart the hatred that they had toward him. When they sold him to those Ishmaelites and he ended up in Egypt. But it is as if he doesn't even remember that. He looks back at his life and he remembers how God blessed him. God has preserved him in living faith. God has kept him as his child. We can look back at our lives. Today, as we sit here at these services, dear brothers and sisters, we also can look back and we remember God's guidance and God's love. That to this moment, he has kept me as his child. So when Joseph here then tells them, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. And then he tells them, he says, don't be grieved or angry with yourself. We can see the love that Joseph had in his heart. A forgiving love for his brethren. He says, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He says, this was all God's plan. That you sold me here and I ended up here in Egypt. God had this plan. God did send me before you to preserve life. Now we are here. And we are able to have provisions to help you and your family. This was God's plan. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't your plan. But God has done this for us. And he says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. We remember there was 7 years of famine that followed the years of plenty. And he reminds them, he said, already 2 years have gone, and there's 5 years yet to come. And then he again reminds his brothers, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives from a great deliverance. That the love of the Heavenly Father has allowed this, that now we have food for you. Your Father has sent you here to me, and we are able to help you. God has done this for you. And now he again reminds him. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. We can imagine those unbelieving brothers sitting there and trying to understand with their carnal mind. Here is Joseph. He should hate us. But there's no hatred in the heart of Joseph. He loves his brethren. And he says, this all has happened by God's will. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, if you aren't a believer, if you read that eighth verse, I would guess that you might think that Joseph is bragging. How he says that the Pharaoh, I have been made a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. That you would think that Joseph is here growing somehow. He's proud of his accomplishments. But dear brothers and sisters, Joseph understands it's God's love that has done this. He's not bragging. He's simply saying, this is the way it is. And he tells his brothers, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. So he tells his brothers, go get your father. Go get Jacob. Bring him down with you. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Says, get your families, come here, I will help you. Oh, the love of a child of God toward those who are on the outside of his kingdom. He doesn't have hatred, he has only forgiving love for his brethren. And then he says, and behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin. Benjamin, the youngest, was with them, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Again, he's reassuring them, I'm Joseph, the one you sent here. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And then what does he do? He pulls his father, or his brother Benjamin, onto his neck, and he wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. This reunion, this beautiful reunion of Joseph with his brothers. And our last verse indicates also how in his love he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. We can imagine in those moments when he began to identify himself. We can imagine the fear, can we not, dear brothers and sisters, in the hearts of those brothers. They knew what they had done to Joseph. They knew that this ruler now there in Egypt has all the authority and power to do whatever he wants unto them, to pay them back. Revenge upon what they had done to him. But that is not in the heart of Joseph. These things are not in the heart of a child of God. A child of God has love and forgiveness. This is a beautiful story of love and forgiveness. It's the love of the Heavenly Father that understands that those things which have happened in my life are from him. They are his will on our behalf. And then he kissed his brethren. What forgiveness he had for them. They had come before him with much fear and trembling. And I'm sure that they are remembering what, dear brothers and sisters? They're remembering long ago when this young Joseph, their brother, had told them about the dreams he had, where the 11 sheaves bowed down to him. And the stars also unto him. They remembered his dream. Now they understood what those dreams meant. If we would have read through all of these chapters, it says how they knelt before the ruler, before Joseph. Not knowing him yet, they didn't know who he was. But there they pleaded and begged for those things, those provisions that they needed for life. Oh, may it be so that our love is always extended to those on the outside of God's kingdom, like Joseph had. That we would invite them in. That we would have that heart of forgiveness. That come into the Father's house. Just like that prodigal son I remembered in the prayer this morning also. Where there the father had given him the inheritance, hadn't he? What had that young son done with that inheritance? He took it and he took it into a far country and he wasted all of his living. And where did he find himself? He found himself there among the swine. And he was eating and feeding of that which was left from the swine. And then what did he remember? He remembered the Father's house. There in the Father's house, there was enough for everybody. And he remembers, and the Heavenly Father pricks his heart so that he comes back. And certainly when that prodigal son is coming, he's wondering, will there be grace for me in the Father's house? But what do we remember, dear brothers and sisters? It's a beautiful picture of God's kingdom, the Heavenly Father and the heart of the Heavenly Father, where the Father went out to meet him. And with outstretched arms, he welcomed him back. His sins were forgiven unto him. And he returned to the Father's house. It is with that prayer that we continue to remember, as we did earlier today, those prodigal sons and daughters who have left God's kingdom. Many of our families have experienced the sorrow where some have given up this begun faith. Through the deceits of the enemy of the soul and the warfare against the threefold enemy, begin to believe the lies of the enemy of the soul. The enemy of the soul, Satan, is a liar from the beginning. We remember how there, even in the Garden of Eden, where he is in the form of a serpent, he began to deceive Adam and Eve. And he told Adam or Eve, "Thou shalt not die." He lied. The enemy was a liar from the beginning. And he continues to reach out, especially to the children of God, knowing that he has little time left. He wishes to deceive all of us. He wishes to deceive us into beginning to believe the carnal mind and to begin to examine even God's Word. And that which is spoken in His kingdom by the Holy Spirit, that we would begin to doubt, that we would begin to question. He told Eve the same thing. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." So Eve began to doubt God's Word. Is it easy for us, dear brothers and sisters, to trust always? No, it's not easy. We carry this corrupt nature. We carry this carnal portion with us, this flesh and blood. It's not always so easy. But let us today remember that we must trust in God. We must trust that He will help us. He will help us. He will help our families. He will help our children, our grandchildren. He, through the Holy Spirit, is still dwelling in His congregation. The Lord of life, the Good Shepherd, walks among His own children. He is here with us today at our services. He guides us. He leads us by the hand. This road to heaven is not so narrow that we cannot walk side by side. Brother with a brother, sister with a sister, supporting, encouraging, and lifting us, comforting us. Dear brothers and sisters, we are in a good place when we are a child of God and we have our sins forgiven. That is why we have come here today, to hear that same gospel. So it is, dear brothers and sisters, you can raise your heart to believe the gospel of the forgiveness of sins at this afternoon hour. Believe all sins, dear sister, in Jesus' name and precious blood forgiven. So it is, we are...